Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course. We're in John chapter 12, and Jesus has made a very strong statement in verse 44. He said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." Why, Jesus was claiming equality with God here. He was the full representation of the Father. And he insisted that one really couldn't believe in God without believing in him. As brothers and sisters in the family of God, you and I need to be aware of a word from God in John chapter 13, verse 20, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives anyone whom I send receives me, and he who receives me receives the Father who sent me." Now that's important, and it brings out the same truth that we have here in John chapter 12. May I illustrate this? If you should come to me with the word from Christ, whether to exhort me or to correct me, how should I respond to you? How should you respond to someone else? We ought to respond just as though Christ himself had arrived to counsel us. Now, all this depends upon an if. If someone comes with the word of Christ properly interpreted, then we don't have any choice in the matter, and this verse brings it out. He who receives anyone whom I send receives me. And when you receive Christ, you also receive the Father. Now, what does that tell us about our missionary and evangelism efforts? When a Christian goes with the gospel to an unbeliever, he is going, taking Christ with him. And if that person will not accept the Christ being preached in the gospel, he is not accepting the Father either. That makes it doubly serious. Now, I think this is encouraging to those who do evangelism because they often encounter people who don't want to hear. We should not take that rejection personally, for you are simply a messenger for Christ. When people reject the gospel, they are not rejecting you or me. They are rejecting the Son of whom the gospel speaks. And they are rejecting the Father also who sent the Son. We have simply done our duty by going to explain it to them. And we are being obedient to the command to go to all nations. I hope that's an encouragement to you who talk to other people about Jesus Christ. There are many people who will not hear, and they don't want you to tell them about this Jesus the Christ. Well, verse 46 tells us that everyone is in spiritual darkness until he is enlightened by the gospel of Christ. Listen to verse 46. "I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." All the world is in darkness, but Jesus came so we would not remain in darkness. And darkness is the state of persons from birth until rebirth. Christ came to be the light of salvation. Now in verses 47 and 48, Jesus said, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has a judge. The word that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day." I pondered this statement, and I wondered, could it be on that fearful day of judgment when men face the great authority in the universe that the words of Christ might move across the sky and be a testimony against everyone who has not believed? Will the sky be like a big television screen? Well, the Bible doesn't say that will happen, but the Bible does make clear that the Scriptures, that is, the Word of Christ, will have a prominent place in judgment. An example of that is what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 45. where he was speaking to the Jews, he said, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. It is Moses who accuses you, on whom you place your hope. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." Now let's return to verse 47 of John chapter 12. You see in most of your translations the word keep. He who hears the word and keeps them. That word keeps has the sense of guarding. Guarding the words from being lost, or caring for the words. We should not read that he is here referring to commandments. For in one of the two Greek texts which are commonly used by seminary students, it doesn't even use the same Greek word. In that text, it uses the word believe. It says, "He who hears my words and believes." So we do have a textual difference here, and we ought not to build a case on keeping the word, which seems to emphasize obedience in order to get salvation. The Bible teaches obedience for salvation only in regard to obeying the gospel, for it's the message of God. It's good news. And that's also referred to in the Bible as the obedience of faith. But keeping of commandments never earned anybody salvation. Salvation can't be earned. It's a gift of God. It is given by the grace of God through faith. Now we move on to verses 49 and 50, and they are important passages to which I have referred a number of times. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has bidden me." Now, all these words are tied together with what Jesus has just said, that the Word will judge men on the last day. You might say, why the Word? Because Jesus was not speaking on his own authority. "The Father who sent me," he said, "has himself given the commandment what to say and what to speak." Now the commandment refers to the words that he has been speaking about eternal life, not the Ten Commandments. This is a reference to the authority of God. He had given Jesus authority what to say and what to speak. Why will the words of Jesus be the only witness presented in a man's trial on that judgment day? Well, that's explained here in verse 49. Jesus never spoke for himself. His voice was the voice of the Father. Friends, do you want to hear God? Then read the Gospels and listen to God speak through Jesus. Everything that the Father had to say to the world, he said through his Son, and he held nothing back. This is brought out in John chapter 5, verse 24, a passage which you have heard many times, but here is a new emphasis, and for that reason I'm giving you only part of the verse. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me." Notice, you would have expected him to say, "he who hears my word and believes me," but not here. In this verse, he wants to emphasize that he is speaking for the Father, and it's in that context where Jesus has been emphasizing how he and the Father are one. They are equal. That context where you read in John chapter 5, verse 18, "For this reason the Jews wanted to stone him, because he not only said that God was his Father, but also that he was equal to God. And he said, just as the Father has given life, so he has given me authority to give life." Wow! That's equality. And then Jesus said, "Just as God the Father has been known as the judge of all the earth, he has now committed judgment to the Son." Well, they must be equal then. that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, will be the judge? He's the one who can decide your destiny? Yes, he is equal with God. Jesus explained that the reason that God gave him that authority is so that men would honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he said, if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father either. Now that may explain why I teach on the Radio Bible Course the way I do. I keep emphasizing the deity of our Savior, Jesus Christ. True Christianity knows no other Jesus than Jesus as God the Son, the one who's equal with God. He was in the beginning with God and is united to God, but he is a different person. And John declared this when he opened this gospel. He wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Oh, there is the Word, and there is God. They were together. They are two distinct persons. And then later, John writes, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So we have these two persons of the triune God spoken of here in the beginning of this gospel. And when we speak of Jesus, we are speaking of him as God the Son. The best way to interpret John 5:24, therefore, is, "He who hears my word, which came from the Father, and believes in him who sent me, with his words to speak to you, has everlasting life." Everything, then, that Jesus said, everything, is what the Father wanted him to say, and therefore men could say, "God said," not "Jesus said," or "only Jesus said," but "God said it," because he was speaking through Jesus Christ. He was also acting through him, because everything that Jesus did was what the Father wanted to do on this earth, and he displayed his works, and this is why Jesus could say, "The Father works, and I work also," because he was doing the works of the Father. Now you can see the problem that exists for those who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They are forced to say that Jesus was speaking for himself, that he did not represent God, and that he is not the Son of God. That puts a person in a very precarious position, and he remains in darkness. Now such persons would also be forced to reject what we read in Hebrews chapter 1, the opening of the book of Hebrews. "In many and various ways God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." There are some people who say he has not, and they ought to cut out the book of Hebrews from their New Testament. Now, did God speak by prophets in the Old Testament? Yes. And hasn't he spoken by his Son in these last days? He has. The Bible is the authority. It is the Word of God. I can't think of anything more helpful to people who have questions about the Word of God than our teaching tapes on the authority of the Bible, right for information about those. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Kalavoda, reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.